are listening to the Ultralight Radio Show here with Roy Beiswanger. And when we return, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Trapp. Now, he's got a great deal. He is a cluster balloonist, which is a very expensive, very niche type of aviation to get into because helium costs money. And but what's the neat thing about it is he has got a job right now promoting or helping promote the Disney Pixar animated film Up, which features cluster ballooning. And so they're going around introducing people in the media mostly, to the whole thing. Got a little chair fixed up, settlement, launch them, it's a tethered flight, haul them back down so they have something, more to write about. Anyway, great job for him. He's going all over the country promoting these things. We're going to learn a little bit about the technical side of it and some of the fun he's having right here on Ultraflight Radio. And welcome back. This is the Ultralight Radio Show here with Roy Beiswanger. And joining us for the first time, Mr. Jonathan Trapp, a cluster balloonist. I got you the longest title I usually use, but what you're doing is pretty unique. Cluster balloonist for the Disney Pixar movie Up. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's a pretty long title, but I am a cluster balloonist and lucky enough to be traveling with the cluster balloon system, Disney Pixar's Up.
I know that I could have made it longer, too. That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, it is so neat to see something, anything aviation. I love seeing aviation stuff in movies as long as it doesn't involve too many crashes and stuff like that. And this seems, I've just seen the trailer, I've just seen, the little bit that's offered on the web, but this seems like a pretty cool film to be associated with.
It's really amazing to find something that you love so much,
mm-hmm.
and then Pixar does a movie on it.
Right.
That's really, and then you get to be part of it. That's really just been outstanding. And like you say, a piece of aviation, and I have a very, specific piece of aviation that I'm interested in and involved in.
Right.
And then Pixar does a movie on that.
Right.
That's really awesome.
That's got to be. I guess we got to start. There's two different sides of this. Of course, we got the where did the movie come from, and then of course, where did you come from? What got you interested in cluster ballooning?
Well, this is one of the things that we sat around in our office and kind of just batted about a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, could we do this? We have a couple private, some private pilot training, but no commercial guys. Just kind of talking about, could we make this happen? And it was literally in my office. I work for a company called Accenture. It's a big information technology consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, could we make this chair fly? And that's where it started. And I made the assertion that we could do it.
Right.
And it took about a year to prove that to be correct.
How much had you heard about cluster ballooning before you kind of got into it yourself?
Just a small, a small snippet in a newspaper. And I, of course, had heard the urban legend. It's a true story that's gotten embellished over time.
Sure.
Of, I'll never... This guy, Lawn Chair Larry, 1984, flying
right.
in the San Diego area. So I'd heard the urban legend version of that,
mm-hmm.
and then I was familiar with one. The most experienced cluster balloonist out there is John Ninomaya,
right.
and so I was kind of heard about those two things, but had to tell you the truth, had never flown a lighter than air system, had never crewed for one, and so we started really in terms of lighter than air at zero.
Okay.
When we had the goal to go fly the chair. Started at zero and have ended up here a couple years later.
Okay, whose chair?
My chair.
Your chair, okay.
That is to say that my standard, everyday office chair.
I love it.
A lot of people said, well, you could fly this, could fly that, but that's beside the point. Yes, I could fly a better gondola. I could fly a basket, a standard basket, hot air basket.
Right.
$97, I could buy a ticket on Southwest.
Yeah, I was going to say, people sometimes miss the point in these things.
You got it. And the point is, it's a flight of fancy. It's something delightful to do and cool and interesting and to come into fruition. It's
right.
just our interest in what I wanted to do made this happen. In that Southwest flight, I'd also get to pick where I go. In a balloon, you don't really
That's
pick
right.
that. So,
good point.
Yeah. And so we did, over the course of a year, did a series of tests, including flying it unmanned, flying it to altitude, and, you know, I didn't have a pilot's license to fly lighter than air.
Right.
So I went to a flight school down in New Mexico, got some hot air balloon training. Now, I'm not sure about how familiar your audience would be with the difference between hot air balloons and gas balloons.
I think there's probably a passing knowledge, but it's probably worth talking about a little bit.
Okay, so hot air balloons are wonderful, and they fly somewhere in the country every weekend.
Right.
You know, so they get their lift by burning a fuel. Typically, it's propane. Commonly, in modern hot air balloons, it's propane.
Mm-hmm.
And you're warming an envelope, and the envelope is just ripstop nylon, typically. And you warm the envelope, it becomes less dense, and you displace a greater, displace a greater volume. Sorry, got tripped up on my own words. You heat the air, warms the envelope, and you ascend.
Right.
Okay. So a gas balloon, instead you displace air with a lighter-than-air gas. Helium, hydrogen. You can use some other gases, but they're really nasty to work with. You have to use a respirator and everything. So there's a couple lighter-than-air gases.
Yeah.
Hydrogen, it has great lift. It has some wonderful properties. When mixed with air, it becomes explosive, so that's a problem.
I was going to say, it also makes for really pretty colors.
Yeah, exactly, right. What really memorable photographs.
That's right.
Yeah, really memorable. Now, that said, I have flown hydrogen systems. In Germany, they fly them very frequently. They're very common in Germany.
They just didn't learn, did they?
Yeah, well, no, they have learned. They have learned.
Well, I'm just
saw one. Since 1937, that had anything really spectacular happen to it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Good point.
So there's the different. So there's two lighter than air systems: hot air balloons and gas balloons.
Right.
Gas balloons, they're very rare because they're very, very expensive to fill up. To fill a standard gas balloon in the United States with helium, right now it's about $10,000 for one fill. That's one flight.
Right.
The spectacular thing is you don't have to land anytime soon. The last gas flight I did, we flew for 68 hours.
Right.
Launched out of New Mexico, landed 1,200 miles and 68 hours later. So several sunrises and sunsets from the basket of the balloon. And
sure.
Who gets to do that? You know, that's the astronauts. That's who you – astronauts and gas balloonists.
Very good point.
Yeah. So that's the basic difference, hot air balloons, gas balloons, or the two basic types.
Right.
And then these are gas clusters. So we instead of using one large envelope, we use many individual envelopes. And it kind of gets the appearance and look and feel of, you know, that childhood fantasy of grabbing hundreds of balloons and floating off. And that's essentially what we do.
And actually, I encourage, if anybody wants to get the fantasy look at it, I got the link to the Disney film. And just click on over it. I mean, right on the front page, they've got the house with the balloons and the whole thing going. So if you don't have a mental picture yet, that will clear that up for you. So how did you get hooked up with the Disney folks?
Well, we had flown cluster systems a couple of times, and it's something I just love to do so much, but it's prohibitively expensive for an individual to do. We're talking about, you know, several thousand dollars worth of lighter-than-air gas for each launch. And the type of balloons that we use are called chloroprene. They're not reusable. If you try and reuse them, they rupture the second inflation.
Okay.
You might get two out of it, but you might not.
Sure.
So it's prohibitively expensive. Anyway, I had a website out there, clusterballoon.com, and Disney had this movie coming out, and they had an idea for a promotion, lots of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so they reached out through our website and said, well, would you be able to do this? What could we do? Could we fly a house? And I said, yeah, we could fly a house.
A little house or a lot of balloons?
Well, I'm sorry, say that again?
I said either a very little house or a lot of balloons.
That's exactly right. And I was willing to do either. A lot of balloons. That sounds pretty exciting. But we said, you know, sure, we could do it $2 million, you know.
Right.
They said, can you fly something smaller? Yeah, so yes. So that was one of the ideas that got batted around. What we came to, the movie is Carl Fredrickson, a 78-year-old active dreamer and retired balloon salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept is he attaches thousands of balloons to his home, and the home rips from its foundation, and it flies away.
Right.
So that's the introductory concept to the film.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little stowaway on board, a wilderness explorer, 8-year-old Russell, wilderness explorer.
Right.
Well, there's this one scene in the trailer where Carl Fredrickson is, he's just taken off, the house is floating away, and he's finally happy, and he's got a big smile on his face, and he's sitting in his chair when there's a knock on the door, and that's that's Russell, the wilderness
right.
explorer. Well, look at that chair. That chair that he's sitting on, right in that frame of the preview, is the chair that we caused to come into life and that we're flying in different cities around the country.
How cool.
It's very cool. Pixar, you know, it's a 3D animated film,
right.
So they provided full rotations of the chair from, you know, pictures from every angle,
mm-hmm.
and said, can you make this? And we did. We built it to scale, which is a little awkward because it was designed for a cartoon character, not a real person.
Sure.
We built it to scale out of carbon fiber, went to about 14 different mills for the fabric. Disney is very specific, or Pixar is very specific about making their real-world creations
mm-hmm.
match their kind of fantasy creations.
Right.
So about 40 material samples later, we found a material that would match the concept art, and we built the chair out of carbon fiber with appropriate connect points
mm-hmm.
and an aircraft, five-point aircraft harness, and that's what we built. And then we attached that to a custom set of about 64 envelopes, 64 balloons, and
mm-hmm.
We attach those in a light bulb shape, or as best you can get in the real world. So we're trying to match the movie balloon,
oh,
which
gotcha.
Is very, which is a cluster shaped like a hot air balloon,
mm-hmm.
and we're matching that in the real world with 64 cells.
Oh, very neat. And so you take this thing around. What I like about it is it ends up being a promotion for the Disney film, which I'm sure it does very, very well, because there's it's got to be a significant emotional experience for some of these reporters to sit in the chair and get buckled in and feel like they're getting ready to be electrocuted. I'm sure it's for a couple of them.
Yeah, a couple of people have commented on that, about the buckling in part.
Right.
But nobody hasn't liked it yet.
Good.
We in Minneapolis, the venue was the Metrodome, so we had a huge indoor venue.
So this is all. So a lot of this is inside, or all of it's inside?
No. About maybe 50% is inside. Ballooning
That's pretty cool,
is,
though.
It's very cool. Ballooning is very weather sensitive, much more so than most, you know, aviation.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many times I'm talking to a briefer, you know, and you know, one of the Lockheed Martin guys, and they say,
right.
"Oh, it's a great day to go flying," and then they proceed to give me a weather briefing that would completely preclude safe flying. It's like, oh, wind's at, you know, 12 knots, and you know what? That's really fast if you're landing with your body, you know,
right,
in a little
right.
basket.
Have you seen my chair?
Exactly. No, you don't understand. And I just, you know, they're giving a briefing for who they normally give a briefing for, not for lighter-than-air guys.
Sure.
So when possible, we have an indoor venue, or at least as a backup.
Okay.
So the Metrodome was great in that it's huge indoors. So we're flying it up to 130 feet, 12, 13, 14 stories high.
Right.
Indoors, so no wind to contend with. And, in fact, it takes out the FAA. So when we're in abroad, and one important thing, we're always doing this safely and legally, always coordinating with the FAA for our test inflation. We had the FAA out on site. The inspector looked at it, looked at the regs. This is all flying under Part 103.
Uh-huh.
Then he climbed in the chair, and we flew him away. And he said, yeah,
right.
This should be fine.
Okay, good. And you know what? That's got to be hard duty for those guys.
I tell you, it's rough, you know. That's probably a, you know, it's kind of neat, because if you're an FAA guy, usually you dig aviation stuff, you know?
That's right.
Why they went into that. And this is a very unusual little piece of flying apparatus. So it was kind of cool for him to go out and check it out.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and he's a great friend to Lighter Than Air Flight, too. The inspector down there, we went to Albuquerque, the kind of mecca of ballooning. So
right.
of any of the FISDOs, that's the one that would know about Lighter Than Air stuff.
You would certainly hope, yes.
So it also takes, getting indoors also takes the FAA out, because we, you know, often we're either under the Bravo shelf or in the surface area of a Bravo airspace.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and we call them up, and, you know, if we're going 100 feet off the ground, they don't really care, typically.
Mm-hmm.
We get permission, and you must get permission. You're not allowed to fly Part 103 in any controlled airspace without permission.
Right.
So that, it just involves calling up the tower and say, you know, this is a pilot, a licensed gas balloon pilot, and we'd like to do a tether event at this location, this far from the airport. And usually, like, oh, that's no problem at all. And that, with that permission, we're able to do our events. Indoors, we don't even have to do that.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? The indoors, to me, would be the cooler venue anyway. Because I've flown plenty outside, and I've flown low and slow outside and all that sort of stuff. But being inside, a huge structure, it gives you a whole different perspective on flight, or it has to. I mean, I haven't done it, but I've certainly imagined myself there.
Well, you got to come out for one of the events.
I really want. I think all of them have kind of left the area here. And my schedule and that schedule, but I mean, maybe it'll be worth the drive.
Depending on the venue, if we've got a big open venue. It's pretty spectacular.
And
I mean, it's silent, and
right.
It's not like a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up quiet, completely quiet. The only thing you get is maybe a little click of the carabiners against
sure.
The metal clip-ins.
Right.
And that's it. Has
it worked for Disney? Have they been getting the press? Have they been getting the good stories and the buzz about the movie that they've been looking for?
Well, even one of the big hits was the Regis and Kelly show.
Okay.
And we were down. They happened to be taping in Miami, and so we got permits and everything to fly on Miami Beach. On the beach.
Right.
And knowing this very weather sensitive, we knew it would be very tricky to pull off. Plus, there were nesting turtles we had to be careful of.
Gosh.
And lots of things. Anyway, we
right.
got all the permissions, permits, FAA, the FISDO, everybody was on board.
The turtles. Yeah.
Yeah, the turtles were safe. They actually were trying to get a turtle wrangler for us,
yeah.
the real title, just in case there were turtles. Nesting turtles, so that's good.
If you could be a cluster balloonist, you could be a turtle wrangler.
There's
so many titles
out there in the world. You combine the two, you got a pretty unique title.
That would be true, too.
So we got the permissions and everything, and, sure enough, the winds came in. We carry a little handheld anemometer.
Right.
We can call for a briefing, but it's nice to have that just to show
exactly.
the client.
Right.
And it was spinning 16.4 miles per hour.
That's a little ouchy, yeah.
Far too fast for tethered ballooning operations.
Right.
Especially to send up a new aeronaut. That would be Kelly Ripa.
Okay.
And so we had to take it down. We left some balloons up, the chair. And they did several hits throughout the show just of that, of the chair, the fact that it flies. And Disney was very pleased with that coverage. And that didn't even include flying the aeronaut.
Oh, okay.
And then every other market. And so this is not something that's really open to the public.
Sure.
People who are coming to crew are aviation people,
right.
balloonists, ballooning crew. And then the people who are flying are the media VIPs. You're kind of like your fun guy from the local TV station.
Yeah, I've flown those guys here.
Yeah, exactly, right. Or, maybe the weatherman. We had a weather report.
Right. The guys that probably have the highest insurance rates in the
yeah, yeah, exactly, because they're always out doing something. Right.
That's right.
This is the thing. So they have gotten a lot of coverage, a lot of hits in each of the local markets. In terms of national coverage, there was Regis and Kelly, and then Entertainment Tonight will actually be filming tomorrow. So that's Wednesday, May, lucky 13th.
Right.
So Entertainment Tonight, again, a national coverage.
Very, very cool. Okay, well, we're getting near the end, but I got a couple more questions for you. Who keeps the chair?
Yeah, that's a good question. Gosh.
Yeah, okay. Well, are you carrying a trailer with you?
The contract says that the client owns it. We would like to give the chair to the balloon museum. And I think
that
that's a pretty cool place for it.
Yes, you're
it's
right.
Flown all over, and I think that's a good match for Disney doesn't really need a flying chair. Not really. They put it in it'd be like Raiders of the Lost Ark. They put it in a crate somewhere. Obviously.
That's right. But you know what? Those things do end up having huge value. I've talked to the folks like Eon Productions with all the old James Bond things. They were selling sections of the cigarette boats used in, I guess it was Live or Let Die down there in New Orleans, and just like little 6-inch by 6-inch sections of the rug that was in the cigarette boat that James Bond drove around, and they were getting money for that. So
wow. Well,
maybe
I got to find another way to do this to keep it for myself.
There you go.
Probably go to the Balloon Museum in Albuquerque. So it'll be suspended up there, and you can go check it out with some of the press coverage and such.
The next thing is, and it's probably a longer question, is how many people does it take to crew this? I mean, do you keep the balloons and just kind of like load them in a giant trailer and go from venue to venue, or do you have to actually tank up and inflate every place you go, and how many people, how long does it take?
Yeah, Disney was talking about perhaps, okay, just put all the balloons inflated in a trailer and move them from place to place.
Right.
Have you ever driven an empty trailer?
Yeah, and an empty trailer with a real low axle load, huh?
Yeah, they kind of bump around, and they're not really good. Well, if you fill it with lighter-than-air gas, you now have a less-than-empty trailer.
Right.
That is, you have a trailer. It would be really unmanageable. And the volume we're talking about, there's no way.
Well, I'm kind of guessing that, but I've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah, so no, we're doing a fresh inflation at each site. The balloons are reusable balloons, and we take a lighter-than-air gas deliver at each venue, 35 bottles, cylinders of helium.
Uh-huh.
T-like tango bottles, about 300 cubic feet each.
Right.
So each city, we stage gas, we get the gas in, we inflate the balloons, and it kills me. It kills me because at the end of the event, we release all that beautiful invisible gas to space. We release the balloons. Yeah.
I would think you'd have souvenirs at the end of it, or at least the folks that have flown get to take something home with them.
The invisible lighter-than-air gas? If they could figure out a way to take the gas.
Oh, that's right, because you use the balloons again, so you can't give anything out.
Yeah, the balloons are a very special material. It's called rolled polyurethane, and they are reusable.
Oh, okay.
So we're not just releasing the balloons, we're only releasing that.
Yes. Well, I figured you weren't really... I wasn't connecting the dots fast enough. Well, that is a bummer.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Couple events, we have released a couple balloons, but it wasn't intentional. We had unintentional part 101 flights. Part 101.
That's right. And so, do you have any stuck in the rafters at any of these indoor venues?
None have gotten loose in an indoor venue. And that was one of the contract items. If it got loose, we had to get it down. I don't know how we were going to get it down, but
I've got a way to get it down, but
get it down without without firearms.
Ah, well, see, you took out my ways 1 through 6. Well, I tell you, Jonathan, this has been a blast. I appreciate you taking time out of what I know is a hectic, because you're in the middle of this tour right now.
That's right.
And
what
city are you in right now?
What city? We're in Cleveland. We did a show in Cleveland yesterday, and we're leaving at the end of this call, headed towards rural Pennsylvania, where it's a secret.
Okay.
But we're working to get this chair flown to altitude. No indoor venue, no tether lines, flown free.
Very, very neat.
Yeah,
well, make sure you get
feet.
Lots of pictures. I want to see that in the balloonist magazines there.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, thanks again for being part of the show.
Absolutely. Great pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Jonathan Trapp, cluster balloonist for Disney Pixar. There's that title again. Right here on the Ultra Flight Radio Show, we're going to take a break and be right back.